nice to have him stop by. Joining me today, I'm Vince Colonnese, and I'm alongside Daniel Halper, who's filling in for Mary Walter this morning. Daniel's a contributing editor at the Washington Free Beacon, and we're grateful that he's here this morning. Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you for having me.
And also joining us in studio now is Michael Rubin from AEI. The President of the United States is busy, busy, busy on a foreign trip. He's just landed in Israel, but yesterday, Mike, he started with a big speech in Saudi Arabia, wherein he made a lot of comments, including this one about Islamist extremism.
There is still much work to be done. That means honestly confronting the crisis of Islamic extremism and the Islamicists and Islamic terror of all kinds.
Well, he did his best getting it out of the teleprompter, but he said it for sure. What'd you make of that yesterday?
Well, absolutely. I think the speech was a success. You know, a lot of people came in thinking the worst. They thought he was going to be unnuanced. They thought it was going to be bluster. They thought it was going to be hateful. They thought maybe he'd even end with a cartoon hand-drawn image of the Prophet Muhammad. But the fact of the matter is that he was nuanced and he hit the main points. And he came off, I think people in the audience were quite happy with it.
Yeah, it seemed to be well-received in the room and certainly well-received back in the United States on mostly a bipartisan basis. You feel like this kind of, was this the best case scenario for you in terms of envisioning what Trump could say at a meeting like this?
Well, I think so. And, you know, I travel to the Middle East quite a lot. And One of the ironies always has been that while the United States and American politicians and diplomats have fallen all over ourselves not to associate terrorism with Islam because somehow we thought that would come off as hateful, that in the Middle East, people don't mix words. They recognize that they have a problem within the interpretation of Islam. And, you know, Trump said it right, and it's absolutely true, that the people who do most of the dying at the hands of radical terror, Islamist terrorists, are moderate Muslims themselves.
I love that they have to be told that, by the way, that the statistics are working against them. Contrast, if you will, the President Trump's posture towards the Muslim world with President Obama's, and because this in many ways seemed like not only a speech to the Muslim world, but sort of peeling away whatever President Obama had created.
Well, you know, President Obama's big speech was on June 4th, 2009 in Cairo, and when he was talking there, he really didn't mention terrorism at all. President Trump recognized that this is the major issue undercutting security across the region, and so he hit that nail directly. Beyond that, the biggest difference between President Obama and President Trump, I think, is that President Obama couldn't get out of the mode of grievance, assuming that the reason there was terrorism was because someone was doing something wrong and it could be addressed in a diplomatic bargain. President Trump understood that ideology is the problem, and frankly, so do many of the countries in the region.
So this is the president who, when he was a candidate for office, he proposed a Muslim ban. He proposed, you know, not allowing Muslims to come into office, and yet he was welcomed very, very warmly in Riyadh. Why is that? And how are these nations looking at the difference between his campaign rhetoric and what he's doing as president of the United States?
Hey, Daniel, that's a great question. You know, the first trip for President Trump is going to be a give me. What everyone in the region wants is the fact that President Trump isn't President Obama. They were disappointed with President Obama because they thought he disrespected alliances, and they thought that they couldn't trust him anymore. So Trump is a breath of fresh air. The problem is, while that might be the stuff of a successful first trip, it's not something you can build a long-term relationship on. So I want to see the follow-up.
You know, one of the things that came up in this speech that was, again, different than President Obama was his focus on Iran. And pointing out that Iran is a dominant source of terrorism in the Middle East. Let's listen real quickly to what President Trump said about that.
From Lebanon to Iraq to Yemen, Iran funds arms and trains terrorists, militias, and other extremist groups that spread destruction and chaos across the region.
What was your reaction to that?
Well, you know, he's absolutely right. Iran is an imperial power. Now, some people made a big deal out of the fact that he was lecturing Iran on things like free speech, talking from Saudi Arabia. And, you know, Saudi Arabia isn't a beacon of free speech, but that doesn't make Iran any better. And when people criticize Saudi human rights, remember, the rate of execution in Iran is almost an order of magnitude higher than that in Saudi Arabia, as bad as Saudi Arabia is.
Wow.
Now, there was an election, so to speak. At least that's what they call it in Iran just over the weekend. What happened and what do you make of the results?
Well, you have to remember that in Iran, there are elections, but only approved candidates can run. So it would be like in the Soviet Union, if you had an election, but only Central Committee members of the Communist Party would run.
But yet all the media is saying the moderate won and they're remaining moderate. I mean, why are they doing that?
You know, we get caught in this notion of projection. We assume that multiculturalism is about walking into a sushi restaurant and ordering a mojito. We don't recognize that different systems are quite different. And it's really an insult to Iranians to assume that the Islamic Republic represents them. And that's something else, even though I'm not a huge fan, honestly, of President Trump, that Trump got right in his New Year's greeting back in March. He once again greeted the Iranian people rather than the Islamic Republic of Iran. That's something that was consistent with every other president except for President Obama.
It would be nice if international diplomacy just consisted of drinking mojitos. That's an interesting idea. We'll have much more with Mike Rubin here in a moment. He's going to stay with us in studio for the rest of the hour. You'll hear about that and much more on President Trump's foreign trip, including his visiting Israel this very day. We'll talk about that. 7:44 on WMAL.